You'll all take out your outlines. We do have outlines today, boys and girls. And the outline groupie said, hooray! Where's it at? It's just the front and back right here. For those of you who are new, there are fill-in-the-blanks here and scriptures. They'll be up on the monitors as well. We're starting a new series. For those of you who stayed away from love, sex, and dating because you didn't want to participate, and you're here now as we start a new series, just walk across the room. This is a series that will make a marked change in your life if you'll take these principles and apply them. We are talking about a word that scares many Christians, the word evangelism. People hear the word evangelism and they immediately think, oh my gosh, Pastor Scott's going to make me get up behind a pulpit and preach, or going to make me go out with my Bible and thwack people upside the head, or what have you. And it sends a tremor of terror. You like that word, thwap? A tremor of terror up your spine, and you're wondering if I'm going to have you come up here right now and take a microphone and share your life story. Well, you just need to relax. Not what we're going to be doing today, boys and girls. The type of evangelism we're talking and exploring today doesn't involve formulas or memorization of scriptures or entire sections of the Bible, no quizzes or tests or any other such things. The paradigm we're going to discover in this type of evangelism is evangelism can be just as simple as, follow me, walking across the room. Walking across the room. That's what we're talking about today. That nudge, that tug that the Spirit of God will give us in communicating with another human being that Jesus died for. I was thinking about this past week. I was in here in the sanctuary praying. And I thought about when this building was built. And I remember saying at that time, we didn't build this building for us. Because we could have all just stayed where we were and been comfortable and paid the bills and everything would have been nice, but we had vision that we wanted to grow. And not just growth for growth numbers, but realizing every one of those numbers was a human being that Jesus died for within the Sauk Valley area, because we're an area-wide regional church, that we're here for people, and we want to minister to people. And, you know, before we laid this carpeting, it's a cement floor. We took markers and we wrote things. The members of the church at the time wrote things. How many were here for that? And you wrote your name and something down here. And mine's right here. I got right down here. It was like the day before they laid the carpet. And I wrote, my name is Scott Porter. I was the pastor of this church at this time from this year to the present. I put 2008. And then I wrote Mark 11:23-24, which was the base scripture that I learned at Rhema Bible Training College, where I went to Bible school, and et cetera, et cetera. And then I signed, and I put some advice to any future pastors: stay with the Word. Preach the Word. Don't preach men's opinions. Preach the Word of God. And then I signed my name, and then my PS was, has the Chicago Cubs won the World Series yet? I want to cut that piece of carpet up now and write, yes! But I was thinking, I thought of that. Yes, they did. But as I was thinking about this last week, we built this building as a harvest barn. A harvest barn for the community, for our area, for this region, to reach people, to love people, to minister to children, to young people, to adults, to the elderly, to people. That's why God put this place here. That's what God's called us to do. If you'll look there in your notes, you will see that we are a church that's committed to people growing in solid relationship with our God, our family, and our community. And our mission is to love God, love people, and serve the world. And that's based on a single sentence on two scriptures. We believe a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will grow a great church. A great commitment, so there's four greats. Great commitment, great commandment, great commission, great church. Well, we're committed to those two things, the great commandment, the great commission. You might say, what's that? Well, the great commandment's there in Matthew 22. It says, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God and love people. It says neighbors. What's your neighbor? People. Love God and love people. That's where that comes from the great commandment that God gave to us. Then the Great Commission, Jesus said, in Matthew 28 and also in Mark 16 was expanded. We're going to look at the Matthew 28. He said, go. Guess what? Jesus has never said stop. He hasn't retracted that command. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Easter Sunday, we're going to have a baptism service. We're going to lead people to Jesus. We're going to get them water baptized. And then we're going to disciple them. How's that? Class 101, 201, 301, 401, Believer School of Ministry, Getting a Grip on the Basics, our life groups, women's Bible studies, men's breakfast, all the different things we have available to us, and there's more than that, to disciple people, to see us become disciplined in the teachings of Jesus Christ and disciplined in our own lives, in our home, and with our children. And so God's called us to make disciples and baptize them and to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Jesus said to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the Mark 16 version of this. Go preach. Go tell. Go share Jesus. Lay hands on the sick. See them recover. See people baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. The last couple weeks, we've had like four or five people baptized in the Holy Spirit here at this church. God's doing great things. And why do you get filled with the Holy Ghost? So you can be bold to be a witness. You receive Holy Ghost boldness to be a witness. And our target as a church is unchurched believers and non-believers. We're not about pulling people out of other local congregations. Never have been about that. Now, if somebody comes here and they used to attend, God bless America, that's between them and God. That's their choice. But we're not out hunting people from other congregations. That's wrong. That's unethical. I want to see people who haven't been in church and aren't part of a church or have never been to a church. We have members here at a church now that this was the first church they ever attended, only for funerals and weddings. Have they been inside the four walls of a church? And you know what? 30% of the people out in our community in this area attend church regularly. There's 70% out there that aren't doing anything. They're sleeping off last night. And that's what they're doing. So you know who I'm after? I'm after them. I remember years ago I was in Rotary Club one day, and we were having our Super Bowl party. We're having a big Super Bowl party. And my photo was on the front page of the paper at the first building. The Packers were in the Super Bowl that year. And I had on a cheese head, and I was in my tie. I was in my suspender phase at that time. And I was throwing a football out of, from behind the pulpit. Church day of Super Bowl party. And I got fined at Rotary that week because my photo was in the newspaper. And they said to a local bar owner, hey, looks like Pastor Scott's after some of your customers. He goes, well, I don't think Pastor Scott would be interested in my customers, the type of people who come to my bar. And I turned and looked at him. I said, that's where you're wrong, buddy. I said, I'm after every one of your customers. Amen. So, that's our target. We're after the lost. And if we love God and we love people, we will tell people about God through word and action. You can tell people all you know about God and all you think about God, but if your life doesn't match up to what you're saying, they're not going to listen to you. There has to be the spoken word, but then there needs to be the acted word. You need to live that life in front of people. Doesn't mean you're perfect. None of us are perfect, but it means you're doing your best, you're honoring God, you're keeping your word. Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. The commission, a commission is an instruction. It is a command, a duty given to a person or group of people. It's a group of people officially charged with a particular function, and we've been given this function. It's to go tell. It's to pray for the sick. It's to make disciples. It's to baptize people. It's to get people serving God, to lead them into a God-saved life. And this whole metaphor of just walking across the room serves as the key concept of this sermon series. I believe we're 3 weeks, isn't it, Pastor Terry? 3 weeks that we're looking at? And it starts with a story. It's a personal story about a person who did just that. And that person was me. I was at a function 20 years ago. And it was a community function with a lot of business people there. There are probably 50, 60 people in this room. And there's some music playing in the background, and people are talking, and glasses are tinkling because people are enjoying some adult beverages. I had an ice-cold Coca-Cola. And we're standing there talking and fellowshipping. And I'm there with people that I know, and I'm talking to these people. And as I was there, I noticed a person across the room alone. They weren't speaking to anyone. They were not engaged at all in the night's festivities. They were kind of standing off to the side with a glass of something like this. Just standing there, all by themselves. And I'm engaged in conversation, and suddenly I felt a tug in my heart towards this person. I didn't know this person. I'd never met them before in my life. I had no idea who they were. But I sensed this tug to just walk across the room. So that's what I did. I walked across the room. I didn't walk up and say, "Hi, I'm Reverend Scott Porter." Pop! "Are you going to hell? Do you know God?" I didn't do that. I walked up and I said, "Hi, my name's Scott Porter. What's your name?" And we started a conversation. And I listened to them. And I found out about them. I engaged in conversation. From there, a friendship began. And in time, once you win a hearing with somebody, they come to trust you to a degree. I invited them to church. I didn't just walk right away, "Oh, Pastor, local church. You want to come to our church? Man, we got great music. We got a preacher word. We got kids." They ran away. Let's start a conversation. Built a friendship, won a hearing, built a bridge, listened to them, heard about them. What we need to realize is it's not all about us. It's about Jesus, and Jesus wanting to work through us, desiring to work through us to reach humanity. That's why we're here. Angels, the angels aren't going to do this. Our job, our responsibility. This gentleman had a wife, a couple kids. He came to church. Both the husband and the wife were saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in water, life changed. Trajectory of their family's life changed from that moment. And whenever I meet somebody, I don't just walk up and lead with my chin like I was in a fight. I like to do what Joe Frazier used to do. Look at Joe up here. There's Joe. Joe Frazier, putting Muhammad Ali on his backside. Madison Square Garden. It was a great night because I was for Joe Frazier. Well, Joe Frazier, if you ever watched him box, he did not stand still. Ali was a dancer, you know, like this, and he was the greatest, of course. But Frazier, he was a bobber and a weaver. He was doing this constantly. He'd stick the right out, but then he'd come up with the left, and that's what he came up with there. Ali dropped his right. And he came up with the left, caught him square in the jaw, and dropped him in the corner. The place went nuts. But Frazier was always looking for an opening. He's looking for an opening. And that's what I do with people. I look for an opening. Is there an opening? Is there something that I can connect with somebody to share God's love with them when that time comes? When I meet somebody, if they have on a Cubs shirt, you know, if they have on a Bears shirt, I can talk to Bears fans too. I know the history of the Bears better than most Bears fans do. I can talk to them about that, about their great history, about Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus and Mike Singletary and Walter Payton. Love Walter Payton. I'm a Packer fan. I love Walter Payton. I hated him when he played against us. When he died, I cried. I remember crying that day, the day he passed away. But I can talk to people about different things. If they have on a college t-shirt or university, talk to them on an intellectual level. Hey, did you go to that school? Did you major in it? Or is your daughter going to school there? And you just find ways to talk. You're looking for an opening. And I'm not looking to throw a left hook. I'm looking to bring the word in. I'm looking for a way to bring the love of Jesus in. Isn't that a great shot? I just, oh yeah, look at Joe's like, he's going down. Looking for an opening. Friends, the single greatest gift as Christ followers that we can give another human being is the greatest gift that was ever given to us. And that's the gospel. That's the story of Jesus Christ. It's the story of his love, his mercy, his compassion, his grace that was poured out onto humanity that you were recipients of. Cooper Beatty, one of my professors at college, used to say, no man should hear the gospel of Jesus Christ twice before everyone has heard it once. There are people in our community who've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you might say, well, how's that possible, Pastor Scott, with all of the television preachers? And there's a church on nearly every corner in America today. They've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, they haven't. I meet them. I meet them here locally. They have a warped sense of what the gospel is. They have a sense of a works mentality concerning the gospel. That I have to be good enough to be accepted by God. But you know what? You can't be good enough. You can't and I can't. I don't get to go to heaven because I'm a preacher. I go to heaven because of what Jesus did. And I accepted that by faith. And that is the good news that needs to be presented to people. That it's Jesus and what he did. It's all about him. Okay? So, the first step in getting usable by God, and God wants to use you, he wants to get you into a position so you can be used by him, is to extricate ourselves from our circles of comfort and stretch out a hand to a person across the room that doesn't know Christ. That we are called, as Tommy Barnett wrote so brilliantly 20 years ago, to enlarge our circle of love. Now, back to the walk across the room idea. Let's take a closer look at how this whole thing works. I'm going to put up a picture on the screen here for you to see. What will it take in order for us to give the single greatest gift to someone we know? We have to enter the zone of the unknown. Fill in that blank. The zone of the unknown. Okay, so as you're filling in that blank, let's jump back to the picture. The zone of the unknown. Here you are. This is your circle of comfort. What's a circle of comfort? It's me and my friends. And I was in that, at that social setting that I talked about when I walked across the room. There was me and probably four others. Five of us in a circle, and you're all standing there. Hey, how's your stocks doing? I don't know. I don't have any. How are you doing? And we're just talking. And these are people that I know. These are people that I am comfortable with. I'm not threatened at all standing with these people because I'm familiar with them. They know me. They've gotten to know me over the years. Nothing unsafe could happen in this circle of comfort. This is a place we've all been, right? We all have our people that we are comfortable with, friends, family, co-workers. Yet that day as I stood in that circle of comfort, something tugged at me and I looked across the room. Okay? I wasn't there talking to them and looking and looking and looking for somebody else to talk to. No, I was totally engaged in this conversation. But I sensed down in my heart, in my spirit, a tug. And my eyes turned this way, and I looked and I saw that person. And I realized in my heart, as the Spirit of God spoke to me, here is a person that looked alone, and it was a guy, okay? But they might have needed an ounce of friendship. Because they were by themselves. I saw something. I sensed something. I heard something. Why don't you walk across the room, Scott, and talk to that person? Extend a hand of friendship to that person that's here alone. And so once I had that, I didn't just immediately turn like a robot and start walking across the room. I said to my friends, excuse me for a minute. I'll be right back. And I turned and I walked. I walked across the room. Now, granted, I had no idea what was going to be happening as I walked across that room. I'm praying as I'm walking across the room. Lord Jesus, give me something to say. I don't know this person. There's a bit of being uncomfortable in this. Because why? I'm going into the zone of the unknown. I have no idea what might be happening at this moment. So as I excuse myself and I went across and I'm praying and I'm going into that zone of the unknown and I simply stop and say, hi, my name's Scott Porter. What's your name? And we start a conversation that quite literally changed the gentleman, his wife, his family's life for eternity. And can you imagine and believe how simple and straightforward that is? That God simply tugged, a believer obeyed, and started a conversation. It wasn't deep theology. So what are your feelings on the rapture of the church? Are you pre, mid, or post-tribulation? I don't care. I really don't at that moment. All I wanted to know is, what's your name? My name's Scott. And if you'll start there, which I believe everybody in this room can do, then watch what God will do. God shows up. See, it's not about you. It's allowing yourself to be yielded as an instrument of righteousness to reach someone who doesn't know Christ. I believe the impact that happened that day was a very staggering sum of impact. I believe the gates of hell shuddered the moment I turned and took my first step. Oh no, it's that crazy. He's going to one of ours. I believe the angels in heaven started unfurling banners and getting out confetti. There he goes. And it took a while, but in a while they celebrated. Why? Because the Bible says that when one lost person comes home, there's great rejoicing in heaven when that happens. They have a party, and the angels in heaven rejoice. What would happen if this week you were to take a few steps across the room? What would happen to you? What impact would that have on your heart and life? What would happen in the family of the person you were reaching? It could change the entire course of generations in a family. Do you think that would be worth the risk of a couple steps across the room? But you know what? If the church doesn't do this, if the church gets out of the good habit of sharing the love of Christ with others, our days are numbered. Because I got news for you. Society is spiraling out of control. Our world is spiraling out of control. Today is the day where God's people need to stand up and hold the light of His truth up high. You may be ridiculed. You may be put down. You might be called names. You're a radical. You're an extremist. You're this, you're a hater, whatever. No, I'm just holding up Jesus. I'm holding up His love and His grace and His mercy. But you know what? Some people in society might say that, but others are going to be drawn. They're going to come to you and say, tell me about this. Because guess what? There's enough hate and all that other junk out there right now from all sides of the political aisle. What we need right now is a church that is energized to stand up with God's love, His grace, His mercy, and truth that accepts people right as they are, but realizing that God loves them too much to leave them that way, and reach out with God's love. So I want to see all of us turn into a walk across the room kind of person, every last one of us, regardless of your age, regardless of your race, your personality, your gender, regardless of what your personal gift mix is, your experience in kingdom-building initiatives, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, to use any of these labels as reasons to not walk across the room is an excuse. And honestly, it's a lousy excuse. So get this. If you're a living, breathing Christ follower, then the Spirit is asking you to walk. He's asking me to walk. He's asking us to take that walk as he leads us every day, with people that we see each and every day, at work, at school, in social settings, at the gym, at our kids' football game, in the midst of our insane schedules, get this one, even at church, we need to break out of our little circles, out of our little coffee clutches, out of our little cliques. We need to get outside of those and walk across the room. I do that during meet and greet. I'm talking beyond that. I'm talking about reaching outside of your circle of comfort and going into the zone of the unknown, whenever and wherever you are. If you've submitted your life to Christ, but wonder why you're not just rocketing ahead in your spiritual development, your spiritual growth in God, your spiritual maturity, could it be that possibly for too long that you have clung to your circle of comfort, refusing even to glance towards the zone of the unknown, let alone take a walk into it? I'm not even going to look over there. I like these four, us four and no more. I'm good. That's not what God called us to. Jesus said, go. He didn't say, stay. He said, go. Make disciples. Too many Christians have forgotten where they've come from. The grace, the mercy that you've received because of the forgiveness that Jesus provided through his shed blood at Calvary, we have come to a point of having a remarkably strong case of spiritual amnesia. We simply forget how personal the cross of Jesus Christ is to us. We get wrapped up in our own circle of comfort, warming ourselves day after day from the glow of Christian community. They have different flavor coffees here at this church. Isn't it wonderful? And the donuts were exquisite. We get caught up into that, but never once turn to acknowledge the isolated people standing across the room who desperately need a little injection of hope. If you've made the decision to follow Jesus, if you have found him to be the way, the truth, and the life, if you have found what the Bible says to be true, then why would you, why would any of us think that other people wouldn't be interested in knowing about what we have discovered to be the most life-changing, heart-stimulating, exciting thing, life, eternity-altering relationship to ever have? Friends, if you've been wrecked by grace like I have, time to export it. It's time to share it with another. We need to get our boldness meters cranked up. So in order to bestow this single greatest gift on someone living far from God, you have to be willing to enter the zone of the unknown. And here's how you start. Step two, point two. Listen for the Spirit's prompting. I'm not just talking about grabbing a whole pocket full of gospel tracts and running out into the street and passing them out to everybody that comes along. I'm talking Spirit-prompted, Spirit-led evangelism, where you get that tug, you get that direction, you get that pull, and you see someone's life change. Back in about 1990, I was sitting in my office at our first church building reading my Bible, weekday. And I'm sitting there minding my own business, reading some scripture and writing some notes, probably for a sermon. Spirit of God spoke up on the inside of me. Just as clear as I'm hearing my voice right now, he said the name of a person whose wife and children attended our church, but he didn't. This was a gentleman who had a lot of addictions, a lot of past, and a lot of problems. He had received Jesus at one point in his life, but had fallen away from God, and he thought God was mad at him. I didn't know that, but he knew that. But what I heard on the inside was, I want you to go over to Fred Smith's house, not his real name, and I want you to read 1 John 1:9 to him. Now, you know, whenever the Spirit of God speaks to you, your mind will immediately come up with something. And what you do with that thought can make or break you on whether you're going to obey him. The first thought of my mind was, well, everybody knows 1 John 1:9. What do I got to go over and share that with them for? That was my thought, because I'm busy here. But I ignored that. I said, yes, yes, Lord, I'll do that. Brother Hagin taught us at school, instantly obey the voice of the Spirit. Yes, sir, I'll do that. So I went out and got into my car. I didn't even take my Bible, because I know 1 John 1:9. I went over to the house, knocked on the door. Hey, come on in, Pastor Scott. Always very respectful to me. I came in and I sat down. I said, we talked a little bit. I said, I just got something out of my heart I want to share for you. I didn't say, God told me to come over here. I just said, I have something in my heart I want to share with you. Okay, what's that? I said, 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Did you say anything else? Nope. Spirit of God said, go over there and read 1 John 1:9 to him. So I did. He looked at me and he said, are you telling me that if I ask God to forgive me, he will? I said, yes. That's what 1 John 1:9 said. He was disturbed. He said, you've given me a lot to think about. I said, okay. And I left. Oh, you didn't kneel on the floor and he asked God to forgive. No, God said, go over and read 1 John 1:9 to him. That's what I did. I left. He came to church that weekend. We had a guest speaker. Phil Stern was a pastor from Tulsa. Now he's in St. Louis. But Phil Stern, this man, totally unchurched, knew nothing about move of the Spirit of God or anything like that at all. Sitting off in the corner watching. But unbeknownst to me, somebody told me this story. That Dave Justice walked up to him that day, hugged him, and kissed him on the cheek. Is that right, Dave? Yeah. I never heard that till last night. Somebody said, do you know Dave Justice did that? He had his walls up. Dave walks over, hugs him, kisses him on the cheek. I think all the walls probably just fell. Bill Stern gets up and preaches an incredible message. He comes forward, rededicates his life to the Lord. Bill Stern, before he can even get his hand on him, power of God just knocked him to the floor. He laid there and shook for 30 minutes. He got delivered of every drug, alcohol, everything, and he got reamed. He just cleaned out. Went home that night, put all of his drugs, drug paraphernalia, all of his devil junk that he was into a garbage bag, rode his motorcycle down to Lawrence Park and threw it in the Rock River. That was 25 years ago. That man today has traveled all over the world preaching the gospel. Went to Bible school in Tulsa, graduated from Bible school, and has preached all over the world. Where did it start? Go over to so-and-so's house and read 1 John 1:9 to him. Wonder if I'd have said, well, Lord, I've got this some sermon here. This is really important. I'm busy. Can't you see? I'm a pastor. I'm busy. Well, he'd ask somebody else. But he asked me. When God asks you, say, yes, sir, I'll do that. And then what? Do it. Just go do it. It's called a Holy Ghost adventure. Watch the trip he'll take you on. I hear people talk about, man, I went on a trip. Man, you ain't been on a trip till you've been on a trip with God. When you're done with it, you'll remember everything that you did. And you'll remember your name and all your clothes will be on too. Okay. So when the Spirit of God... Just saying. When the Spirit of God tells you to take a walk, walk. When he says, don't take a walk, you stop. You stop and you listen to him. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth in Matthew 5. But if the salt loses its saltiness, that means its savor. It's no good. You just use it to throw it on the ground. We use it up here to throw it on the ice in the wintertime. But if it's lost its saltiness, can't put it on food. It's no good. It's not flavorful. We're to keep our saltiness. We're to keep our savor. That spiritual potency, that spiritual drive, that boldness, that when God speaks, we obey. When he leads, we follow. We want to do what he wants us to do. And in order for salt to affect something, you've got to put it on it. Put it on the food. We had men's breakfast yesterday. First Saturday of the month, 8 a.m., Mom's Diner. We need more men there. You know where else we need more men? Children's ministry. You know how many men work in our children's ministry? As far as grown men? 2. 2. 2 men in the children's ministry. Moving on. You've got to get salt on something in order to enjoy it. Yesterday I had a Denver omelet. Don't you love Denver omelets? They're just full of stuff. Surprises. You cut it open and rah, out comes hog and peppers and onions and cheese. Just all in there. But I put a little salt on it. A lot of pepper. I love pepper. How many love pepper? You pepper people? I see the pepper people. But I put a little salt. Why? Because it zings. It brings all those out. And then some Cholula hot sauce. When you go to Wrigley Field, they sponsor. That hot play was brought to you by Cholula hot sauce. I'm sitting at Wrigley going, hey, Cholula. Put it on my Denver omelet. But what does that do? It enhances flavor. What are we to be? We're to be salt. We're to be Cholula hot sauce. Why? Because the world is tasteless. We're to be light. Why? Because the world's dark. We're to be salt and light in this earth because the world is dark and tasteless. We had zing. We had Cholula. I need to get a sponsorship. They'll pay for all this. So some of you may track with this whole thing of, yeah, walking across the room, I can do this. And others of you might be thinking, I don't know, Pastor Scott. I don't know if I can do this. You might think, I don't have the right training, the right confidence level, the right skill level, the quick mind, the relational aptitude. If you're saying relational aptitude, you've got something. I don't have the right gift mix or whatever. I just don't have what it takes. And if you're in that camp, hey, I understand. I get it. But remember, it's not about you. Spirit of God tugs, you turn, you take the walk, and you say, hi, my name is, and you say your name. What's your name? And then you let God work. And then you get done. And the whole time you might be shaking and afraid, but you get done and you're like, wow, that was great. That was awesome. You'll have to walk through genuine fear to shake a hand or fist bump or whatever it is you do. There is anxiety included in walking from your circle of comfort into the zone of the unknown. There's anxiety. There is fear there, absolutely. But I promise you, the underlying reality of sharing Jesus Christ with somebody and leaving your circle of comfort and relying on the Spirit's power and watching Him work through you. It's awesome. You'll be able to dial into the Spirit's whispers. Lord, are you telling me to go talk to that person? Ask them. Maybe step away from your circle of comfort so they don't think you've lost it, you know? But is there somebody you want me to go talk to? Have your radar up when you're in settings. Commit yourself to being salty in your world where you're at. And then say, all right, I'll do it. Obey and watch what God will do. Explore the zone of the unknown. Explore it. Because once you start obeying God, and He starts working through you, you're going to wake up one morning and say, man, that's living. That's living large for God. And God wants to use that, use you in that way. Every single one of us, every single person in this room. Point 3, we're just about done. What do I do next? Just walk. Just walk. Take the walk. Take the walk. God will give you a newfound sense of confidence. And in the process, you'll become more like Jesus. Romans 5:8, the Bible tells us, but God demonstrated his own love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 9. I rededicated my life to Jesus when I was 16. I've served God ever since then. But you know what had to happen in order for that to happen? Jesus took a walk. Jesus was in his circle of comfort in heaven. Think about this. He's with his Father. He's with the Holy Spirit. He's with the angels. It's all good. And then his Father said, okay, you're going to go down there and become one of them. And Jesus is like, one of them? Seriously? He had to leave his circle of comfort. He had a great circle of comfort. Standing there with his Coca-Cola. And he came down. He walked across the cosmos to be born in a stable, a manger in Bethlehem. He grew to be a man where he was accused. He was called a liar, said he was demon-possessed, had stones thrown at him. They tried to kill him several times. You know, bad things said about his mom and his dad and about himself. Wrongly accused, arrested falsely, and given a criminal's death. With a sham trial. He left his circle of comfort. He went into his zone of the unknown for us. He took that walk. And if Jesus could take that walk, you can walk across the room. But you know what? He might have you do a little bit more than that. He might ask you to stretch out a hand to people. Just like somebody did to you and me at one time. Jesus came to reach people. Many of us who were smack dab in the middle of absolutely wrecking their life. And today in our society, there's people like that right now. You might be watching online right now, and you're going through a difficult situation. You may have thought about divorce. You may have thought about suicide. But I'm telling you right now, God has plans and purposes for you to pursue. Lock in on him. He'll bring you deliverance and the help that you need. Too often we get tied up in the knots of our mind trying to figure out everything that we're supposed to do. Cast all that stuff aside. All you have to do, walk across the room, shake a hand, tell them your name, and ask for theirs. And watch what God will do. I'm going to ask you to walk across the room this week. I'm going to ask you to possibly walk across the street. Walk across the restaurant. Walk across your office, a cafeteria, a locker room. I'm going to ask you to take that walk. Leave whatever circle of comfort you're in. Walk across the sanctuary after service or across the lobby after service, across the parking lot, wherever you find yourself. Leave your circle of comfort. And take the walk. Enter the unknown. And expect something exciting to happen. Because if you're believing God as you take that walk, something exciting will happen. We're going to close here with some simple steps we can all take. I think you have them there on your outline and they'll be on the screen as well. It's true, the single greatest gift Christ followers can give to the people in their lives is an introduction to the God who created them, who loves them. And who has a purpose for each of their days. Just walk across the room this week. The stakes are high. The implications are eternal. And you may be only one conversation away from pointing someone to faith. If you'll just walk across the room. Remember, April 15th and 16th is Easter. People's hearts are open coming to church at Easter. The devil comes to church on Easter. He wears his new suit and his nice hat. So invite a friend. Walk across the room. April 22nd, 23rd is Friend Day weekend. And at that point, we're going to be in a series called About the Choice. We're going to be looking at different characters leading up to Easter. Then after that, I'm going to go into some redemptive realities for Friend Day and in the weeks following. A place where you can bring your unchurched friends to hear the gospel message, to hear about Jesus, see their life changed, and see them one into the kingdom of God. Sound like a plan? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Thank you for the model Jesus set for us. When he left his circle of comfort in heaven, he left his Father, he left the Holy Spirit, and he came to earth to become one of us. He trudged across the cosmos and took on human flesh and dwelt among us. And as we were reminded today, he walked through the dust to a well to speak to a Samaritan woman. He reached out his hand to that sin-scarred woman. And in our lives, he reached out his hand to a sin-scarred man like me. And to us as well. Men and women from a variety of generations, all sorts of backgrounds. If Jesus had not made his walk, it's almost unimaginable what our lives would be like. But thank God he did. But because he did take that walk, it's now our turn to learn how to take walks across rooms. It's our turn. Father, I pray that you'll anoint these next few months in this church in a supernatural way. As you draw people from the north, south, east, and west, people who are hungry for you, people who want to know you, people who want to serve you, that you will turn every timid heart into a bold heart for you. You'll take every pair of shaky legs that are often too comfortable in their existing circle, and that you will help point them toward people outside their circle who need a touch from you. Father, I pray that as this church continues to grow, and as we move into this exciting new era of personal evangelism, that every person in this fellowship will be open to becoming a walk across the room kind of person. To the honor and glory of Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name we thank you and pray. And every